This is your classical break, a chance to take a step back and enjoy some great music in the middle of a busy day. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we'll be listening to one of Niccolo Paganini's showpieces, his Variations on I Palpiti. Paganini was a violin virtuoso and a massive star around Europe in the first few decades of the 19th century. His concerts were legendary, and the man himself had quite the reputation as well. We'll get into that. But first, before we begin, I want to yet again ask for your help in getting this podcast out there to a wider audience. Please review it on iTunes or Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you're getting it. And if you know people who might like it, please do share it around. Thank you so much. One of the enduring myths in music is the story of a musician who sells his soul to the devil. You hear it a lot in the blues. Robert Johnson is one of the many blues guitarists who supposedly met the devil at the crossroads in exchange for a supernatural ability on the guitar. Paganini was sometimes called the devil's son or the witch's child for his talent, which more than a few people thought was due to some kind of unholy bargain. He was a young prodigy, he had a great musical ear, a flair for showmanship, but that was true of a lot of musicians. He also, though, had a physical gift, extraordinarily long and flexible fingers, which gave him a huge reach, and some of the things he could do were physically impossible for other players, which added to the idea that there was something demonic about his ability. Looking back on Paganini's life and his physical peculiarities, there's been speculation that he had what's called Marfan syndrome, which is a connective tissue disorder, and one of the markers is long, thin limbs, and especially fingers, as well as unusual flexibility, and Paganini had those things. He was known for being double-jointed in his fingers. But Paganini was also tall and slender, which is another trait associated with Marfans, and he was plagued by many, many health issues throughout his life, which made sense under the whole sold his soul idea. The idea would be that some sort of curse was working on him. His black soul was rotting or degrading his physical body as well. Paganini didn't exactly dispute these allegations either. He'd dress in all black for concerts. He would arrive in a black carriage driven by black horses. And so that myth continued even after his death. Supposedly, he refused the last rites right before he died. And it may have been because he didn't think that he was going to die. But because of this refusal and the suspicion that he had some demonic help in his career, he wasn't allowed to be buried in a Catholic cemetery for a long time. This piece was one of many in Paganini's repertoire that took a popular tune and then infused it with all of his virtuosic tricks and techniques. And in this case, it's the aria Di Tanti Palpiti from Rossini's Tancredi. It was a hugely popular opera. Pretty much every Rossini opera was a huge hit, and people would have known the tune he was playing around with. Now, it starts off with the violin playing the tune, plenty of feeling, a few flourishes here and there, but then the variations get a little crazier as it goes on, with the violinist's fingers flying up and down the neck of the instrument. And this is where Paganini's huge reach and flexible fingers really helped him. Smaller-handed violinists have a much, much tougher time playing this. You'll notice that he starts to experiment with very high notes, which are called harmonics. Without getting too far into the acoustic physics, rather than pressing the string down all the way, a player will lightly touch the string at a very specific point that creates a sound that can be much higher than you'd normally play, and it has this pure, eerie sound, almost, dare I say, demonic in the way that it sounds. Rika Masato on the violin, Eri Osuka on the piano with Paganini's Variations on I Palpiti. Thank you. You can hear why Paganini was a sensation, the way he was stretching the boundaries of what a violin could sound like. He really was one of a kind at his time, and while there were and have been imitators, I would love to have seen him live and in person. It sounds like a spectacular show. Well, thanks to Rika Masato and Ari Osuka for putting that recording up on museopen.org. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow we'll finish up the week with some Mozart, one of his lovely flute quartets. See you then.